Book of Revelation, chapter 7, verses 16 and 17. Yes, sir. They shall hunger no more, neither shall they thirst anymore.
Preach, preacher.
For God shall wipe away,
yes, sir,
every tear from their eyes.
Yes, sir.
Get ready for the revolution. What you say?
You are listening to WJRH 104.9 FM, Lafayette College Radio, Easton, Pennsylvania. This is Time and a Half with Brother Charles. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment. This episode is brought to you by Styles by Val, Cuts by Trey. If you are a diva in debt or a broke brother, go ahead and step to Souls 220 at Lafayette College and get finessed for less. This episode is entitled the Ritual Religion episode. I will be discussing religious ritualism and the ins and outs in the context of Christianity as well as Islam. Just because there's a lot of different things going on within the religious communities that a lot of folk, especially on college campuses, have to deal with. And a lot of that goes into our upbringing. And our upbringing is definitely rooted in the ritualism that is connected to our belief systems. I'm also going to hit you with a different array of songs today. Shout out Sister Trey, who finessed me with this cat called FKJ. His album is called French Kiwi Juice, but it's all mostly instrumental. And then I got a couple just like my little random favorites. But appreciate you for always tuning in and showing love. Once again, this is Time and a Half with Brother Charles. I'm going to start y'all with something a little mellow, something to groove to. This is Anita by Smino. When we come back, I'll be discussing how practice sometimes can take precedence when it comes to our faith. Once again, this is Time and a Half with Brother Charles. Thanks for rocking with me.
This feel like hallelujah. Through the choir too, I'm up to Holyoke, fry like a polio. I got a chicken coop, dip out interior barbecue. I'm fly while she want the cockatoo. And that's on my bird like a big my guy. Standing over how they greet my guys. Straight out the mud like a clean old life. Never had time for the tea to kind on the fish like vines. Wanna camouflage, niggas hotel lobbying. Smelling like loud around Republicans. Like why they no niggas working obvious. Just hella smiles and muttering. If you ain't blood to me, you bothering. And if you ain't cuss to me, you cluttering. And I've been really trying to be more tolerant, more positive, probably need to switch up countries, but you know I'm hurt. I might go be smoke, cop a couple seats out to Heathrow. How the shortest with the shit, ain't no shortage on the stick. Lil' boo, I know you gon'
let me cut on it.
To wise, told me none of this matter unless family bless. Watch out these things that beat on their chest, they flex through their stress. I guess I've been raw, it's genetic, it's my dinner. Yes. I send your wine up on you, trying to fit up a venom with you, acting innocent. Bet you're interested, stretch it like a limo. The memo never switch to slow the tempo. Zero gang with me, and be where I go. I'm cool on all the friendly sh-. It's just business straight across 12:30 o'clock.
Thousand miles and I want a spaceship, maybe we can go spur.
I ain't never been a Jupiter, but I go with you, baby.
Got that back in the girl that can't pull out of your Milky Way.
And it be back in empanada, ready to back in empanada. She says me no, I love you, nada, girl, they
nada. See, I know what you're thinking. Another in and out, halfway done, not what you asked for situation. But I ain't signed up to disappoint you, shawty. My resume speak loud in any application. I don't mean to be all forward or nothing, but you strike me as the type to hire on the spot. Cause on those days when life gets overwhelming and super stressful, I put in the type of work. It's on a whole nother level. Hire me.
I get up early just to go to work. Stay focused, yeah, I even go to church. Putting overtime, even when it hurts. I need a job,
Can you hire me? I need a job. Can you hire me? I need a job. Can you hire me? Can you hire me?
Can I say it again?
Once again, this is Time and a Half with Brother Charles. Appreciate y'all for letting me do my thing as always. Once again, this episode is called the Ritualism episode. I don't know why I combined them two words if I knew I wasn't going to be able to say them. But I don't know. Just a couple updates about my life. Number one, shout out Big Sis. My sister Kayla definitely finessed me. My birthday was this past Friday, 21/21. And what's crazy is my this laptop that I was working with since about my freshman year of high school, sophomore year, so was a hand-me-down that had been my family at that point for at least about 5-6 years. So fast forward, it's about a decade old, and rest in peace to that junk, because like this time last Wednesday or so, it just went kaput. Like, I'm pressing buttons, I'm slapping and taking the battery in and out, I'm blowing on stuff, I'm praying, putting my hands on it, like, Lord Jesus, come through the circuit board in Jesus' name. But it just didn't want to turn on for a brother. That joint literally just died. And what's crazy was I hit my sister up and was like, yo, we gonna have to have a funeral for this joint when I get back home, because it's just not working. And she was like, don't even trip. I'm like, what you mean? She's like, don't even trip. And then 2 days later, I get an email. I got a package in the mail. I open that joint up. It's a brand spanking new Chromebook that's waiting for your boy. So definitely much love to Kayla. I don't know what her job entails, but I know she's making a little buku bread. So, you know, none of us hurting right here. But not for real. Kayla always shows love. My big sis definitely be doing the thing. So that's much appreciated. Shout out everybody who showed me love over the weekend. It was a good weekend, homecoming weekend. ABC threw a great Grown and Sexy. Our homecoming dance was definitely successful. Shout out Uncle Dean for finessing us that shuttle at the last minute. May I just say that a college homecoming is the best of times and the worst of times, because people be on their level. And it's just very interesting to to see people in very vulnerable states due to the liqueur, which I choose not to indulge simply because, Lord Jesus, people be acting a fool. But that's neither here nor there. There's a lot going on campus right now. Take Back the Night, which is sponsored by Pards Against Sexual Assault, is tomorrow. If you're interested, I feel like you can still sign up for the run/walk that starts at 5:30, but the actual like talk and event and the communal will start at 6:45 in Colton Chapel. Shout out Nina and everybody involved in that. That was good. There's a lot of things going on. I think the The final day to sign up for externships is tomorrow. Make sure if you are at LOF and you're interested in doing something like that, an externship is literally like a internship light. You get to literally shadow somebody who's probably a LOF alum, who's in the industry that you're interested in, and you can finesse and learn a lot just in a couple of days instead of having to do a whole summer where you low-key realize that this is something that you might not even want to do. So an externship is literally a short and sweet way of kind of getting a glimpse into what your possible field might be or might not be. So that's definitely a great opportunity. Here's another announcement. I will be doing a TED Talk on, I think the date is November 9th. My TED Talk will be about code switching, respectability, politics, and language. So how people are maneuvering different spaces based on where they come from and things like that. But with all that said, back to the lecture at hand. Today's topic is ritual religion and rituals within religion. Growing up, what's crazy is a lot of people have these certain perceptions about how their faith should look and what their faith should look like and how they should act as a result of being a person of faith. And I think that's a wonderful idea, but in practice, sometimes it could become oppressive simply because a lot of us, and I always speak from a college student's perspective. A lot of us get to school and are given all this freedom, all this time to ourselves to really figure out who we are. And as a result of our religion dictating so many elements of our life growing up, and us not necessarily having the pressure of our parents or whoever raised us pushing that religion on us, it definitely creates this aspect of, all right, what do I do now? What is deemed as necessary? And I think college is the best time to really start tailoring your faith to who you really are. Just speaking from my perspective, I was baptized on Sunday, and I always knew that that was something that I wanted to do when I got older. I originally had gotten baptized at like 10, when I didn't really understand the magnitude of what it truly meant to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and then live a Christ-like life. So I knew later on, possibly, that the day might come where I would take that more serious. And I feel like I'm at the point in my life now where I can. And it's just very interesting because I recognize that there are so many different elements of the Christian faith that I deem somewhat unnecessary. And I feel like certain things, I feel like we just do as a result of practice, but not necessarily recognizing the true meaning behind it. Like, interesting enough, my pastor, Greater Shiloh, Pastor Phil Davis, was talking about how black people, when they leave the sanctuary in the middle of a service, they'll raise their finger. And you can trace that back to like you throwing up a one or a two when you was in the field and you was trying to tell the overseer, like, yo, I gotta go to the bathroom. Or when ushers are wearing white gloves and stuff like that. And, you know, I hate seeing black people in white gloves, period, because you already know what that looked like. And those days are over. And it's just we do these certain things and connect it to religion, but we don't really understand the true essence and meaning behind it. And I feel like that can definitely be detrimental, because at the end of the day, faith is literally just a relationship with God. Faith and religion are literally just your relationship and your spirituality and how you're maneuvering it and how you bring it back to your own context. So interesting enough, it's just crazy because when you're in college and you're pressured to have all these different regimens, make your own schedule, you can add faith to that. And it's just like the fluidity of your schedule as a college student can also be implemented into your fluidity of somebody who has a faith-based lifestyle. So me personally, when I got here freshman year, I was figuring it out. I was like, all right, what does this faith thing really look like when I don't have the pressure of having to go to church every Sunday? Or what does this faith thing look like when I can literally just sit up any day, any time of night and just read my word? What does this faith thing look like in whatever context I want to create it to be. And it took me about 2 years to really figure out that my own personal journey and my own personal aspect of what faith looks like does not have to simply be rooted in the practices of going to church multiple times a week. Or my experience doesn't necessarily have to be giving endless tithes. My situation doesn't necessarily have to look like the next person's. And I feel like the ritualism that comes within religion can somewhat create a sense of oppression within your religion, because a lot of parents, I feel, if you're pressuring your child, and there's a difference between influencing and suggesting and pressuring. And I think a lot of Christians make the mistake of pressuring their children. What's up, Rochelle? Pressuring their children to adopt this sense of, they have a sense of urgency when it comes to their children being Christians without really recognizing that there takes knowledge, there takes nurturing, all of that intertwined with the growth of an individual within their own faith. In order for their faith to truly grow, you have to water it. And my thing is, I feel like my father was a pastor, my mother is a very devout Christian, and I feel like they did a pretty good job of explaining certain things when it came to Christianity. But there was also certain aspects of life that I feel me and my sisters had to learn for ourselves, simply because the ritualism and the practices that go along with Christianity also make it difficult for people to have somewhat, not necessarily secular conversations, but conversations that can easily be placed in a secular context. And as a result, there are certain things that I feel a lot of Christian folk have to figure out for themselves in a way that's not necessarily healthy. For example, a college student who comes to campus might be having like certain sexual experiences that they never had before. And they don't know what in the world to do, because they definitely didn't have the opportunity to have that conversation growing up in a Christian household where, you know, sexuality is not something that is a hot topic, and definitely something that is usually shut down simply because people believe, you know, one, marriage, until then we not even going to discuss it. And that definitely is an unhealthy habit within the Christian community. People who are Christian but also fall within the LGBTQ community, that's another thing. It's just we hijack interpretations, we focus so much on it that as a result, people don't get a chance to also explore themselves while also exploring their faith. And that, to me, is a detriment to people's growth as individuals, simply because they have to pick and choose between who they want to be in themselves and who they want to be in Christ. And I feel like that's definitely a drawback, because religion isn't supposed to be something that is a weight. Religion is supposed to be something that is liberating, because it's not a list of rules, it's a relationship. And I can't reiterate that enough. But I'm going to come back, take a little quick music break, because I'm rapping right now, but I'm feeling what I'm talking about. I thank the Lord for giving me the words. We're going to keep it pushing. We're going to switch it up. Let y'all listen to a little bit of my boo Erykah Badu. This is Boogie Nights / All Night from her wonderful album, Erykah Badu Live. This is Time and a Half with Brother Charles. Keep rocking with me.
Boogie Nights.
Erykah Badu.
I'm gonna give it to you, give it to you, give it to you, give it to you.
On 104.9 FM, Lafayette College Radio, Easton, Pennsylvania. This is Time and a Half with Brother Charles. Appreciate you. If you are just tuning in, this is the Ritual Religion episode. I am discussing rituals within religious spaces and how us college students are continuing to maneuver them. And what's crazy is I thought I was going to pull up, and when I got to school, I didn't expect for there to be such a strong Christian community. Last year, shout out Sister Duku forever. Like, she was the first to introduce me to Shiloh Baptist Church. And ever since I've been there, it's definitely been a very welcoming space. And what I appreciate about Shiloh is they don't really focus. When I come to Shiloh, it's literally just about praising and being edified and taking what you hear during the sermon and applying it to your life. Literally breaking down how you're supposed to deliver the gospel, receive the gospel, and then live according to the gospel. And that's literally what, at least in the Christian context, that's literally what faith is all about. Like, people gonna mess up. People not perfect. People go through things. There are so many different elements of life that come. And I think it is irresponsible for somebody to think just because you practice certain things and have habits and try to pretend like everything is squeaky clean, that is enough. When in reality, I feel like the Lord has much more of an appreciation for you as a believer if you can recognize your flaws and recognize that he is the only one who can assist you in helping you in that space. And once people recognize that religion does not necessarily have to be focused in the practices and the habits and all that different stuff, that a Christian does not have to look a certain way. A Christian does not have to dress a certain way. A Christian can literally come as you are in any way, shape, or form and be received in the welcoming arms of the Lord. Like, that's literally what it's all about. And I think the biggest mistake, especially when people try to explain their faith to somebody, is start talking about what they have to do instead of talking about what they have to be, who they have to be. And the answer to that is themselves. And then eventually they become a better version of themselves. What's interesting is, and what I'm starting to appreciate more, is the way that people minister to me. Because I always like when people recognize that where you are in your life, right, whatever season that you're in, the Lord can always use you. And recently, I've been recruited by a couple of folk at Shiloh to kind of assist in like the youth program and certain things like that. And I'm recognizing that if I'm really going to be successful in this, that I can already utilize my personality and like my character and stuff like that, but in a way that's just going to bring more people to Christ. Because I, for whatever reason, people like me on this campus. I don't know why. I be doing my thing. I be minding my business, but people, for whatever reason, like, receive what I say to them. Because I'm the type of person that just genuinely wonder how you doing. I like to see everybody being their best, living their best life, regardless of what's going on. So I think the best thing about having faith to me is always recognizing that things are going to be okay eventually. They may not be all right now, but I think recognizing the power of faith and renewing and remaining steadfast in that is what really gives me an appreciation for my religion. But I practice my religion. My religion doesn't overshadow who I am. My religion is a part of my identity. My identity isn't rooted in my religion. And to be honest, I'm not that religious. I'm very faith-based, and people have a very difficult time deciphering between the two. When I tell somebody that I'm a man of faith, they automatically probably think like I pray all the time, which I do, but they have a different perception of what that means. Like, I think another thing is due to like the ritualism and things like that within religion and Christianity especially is people have this sense of judgment when people don't practice a certain way or and that is very ostracizing for people who might not be in the same space in their walk as you are. And I think a big check in my spirit is always recognizing that just because I'm a certain way doesn't in my faith does not mean that somebody else has to be the same way. And that also doesn't mean that just because that person is in a different space that they can't minister to me and make me better and improve my relationship with the Lord. And I'm really just thankful for this opportunity to talk to whoever's listening and have this platform, because as a result of me getting baptized, my head is in a completely different space in regards to trying to win people over. And if for an hour I can just talk about the goodness of Jesus Christ, then I'm not even tripping, because that's definitely something that I've always wanted to do. But to be honest, I've always felt nervous doing, because I didn't know the best way to go about it. I'm the type of guy to just kind of pray for you in the corner while nobody's looking and then keep it pushing like nothing happened. But I think the Lord is starting to kind of push me towards the forefront in that respect, and I have no problem doing so. And I thank God for everybody at Lafayette who is not ashamed of proclaiming their love for the Lord, just like me. Everybody that showed love to me on my baptism, the folk who got me a card, my mother for hitting me up, folk who congratulated me, y'all are definitely appreciated, and I'm gonna keep going because it's necessary. Especially in the world that we living in right now. Rest in peace to brother the David Johnson. Praying for his entire family, especially his wife Maisha, for what they had to go through in the wake of his death. Next week I'll be discussing the military and just the misconceptions and the weird obsessions that America has with the military about respecting them. But to be honest, the American government is probably the main institution that disrespects the military the most. But that's neither here nor there. I'm gonna keep rocking. Another music break, let y'all hear the sweet sounds of Miss Aretha Franklin. Then we're gonna switch it up, play a little bit of this FKJ that my homegirl Trey put me on to, and then I'll probably finish up with a little Luther after wrapping up. Once again, this is Time and a Half with Brother Charles. I feel very, very thankful for this space today, man. I'm just having fun. I'm just enjoying this. This is kind of like my own therapy, man. It's just me and the microphone and my music, and I'm not tripping at all. Thanks for keeping rocking with me. This is Daydreaming by Miss Aretha Franklin. And when he's lonesome and feeling love starved, I'll be there to feed it.
Adjust your radio. There is nothing wrong. We have taken control as to bring you this special show. We will return it to you as soon as you are grooving. Welcome to station WEFUNK, better known as We Funk, or deeper still, the Mothership Connection, home of the extraterrestrial brothers, dealers of funky music, P-Funk, Uncut Funk, The Bomb.
Coming to you directly from the Mothership. Top of the chocolate Milky Way, 500,000 kilowatts of P-Funk power. So kick back, dig, while we do it to you in your eardrums. Oh, me? I'm known as Lollipop Man, alias the long-haired sucker. My motto is,
make my the people. I want my funk uncut. Yeah, let my funk the people.
I want to get funked up.
Now this is what I want y'all to do. If you got faults, defects, or shortcomings, you know, like arthritis, rheumatism, or migraines, whatever part of your body it is, I want you to lay it on your radio. Let the vibes flow through. Funk not only moves, it can remove. Dig? The desired effect is what you get when you improve your interplanetary functionship. Sir Lollipop Man, chocolate-coated freaking habit form. Doing it to you in 3D. So groovy that I dig me. Once upon a time called now. Somebody say, is there funk after death? I say, it's 7 up. Yeah. P-funk. P-funk. Uncut funk.
Make my funk to P-Funk. I want to get funked up.
My father used to love Parliament, so forever I should just play one of their songs every week, man. Miss that dude. Deuteronomy 10:12. We just gonna give a little context. Number one, to showcase how living the word remains. Now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require from you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways and love him, and to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul? And then Mark 12:33 says, and to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as himself is much more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. Both those verses say that to say, literally all the Lord wants you to do is seek him and treat people the right way and love your neighbor. That's it. That's all you got to do. Accept the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Continue to seek God and then love your neighbor like the Lord tries to love you, even when you be messing up. That's literally as simple as it is. Don't get caught up in the hubbub of religion of pulling up to the church building and then not actually showing love to the people inside of it. Don't be out here being pressed to give tithes and all this other stuff, when in reality you could just go into your community and spend your time as well as your energy, which is just as valuable as your money, on Sunday morning. Recognize that religion does not have to be set in this one little minute box, right? There's this spectrum of what the Lord expects of you. But in essence, it's truly simple. Your faith is what should really be the energy for you to become a better version of yourself. But also recognizing that in order for you to become a better version of yourself, you have to recognize who you are right now and continue to seek him in order to improve. That's mostly my time, y'all. Thank you for letting me wrap you up as always. Be blessed, never stressed. This is Time and a Half with Brother Charles. Always remain steadfast in whatever you're doing. And know that he's watching and he's got his hand on you. Same time next week. I'm thinking about starting, for those of you on campus, I'm thinking about starting a Bible study pretty soon. Because I feel like I got to wrap some more people up more than once a week for an hour. So look out for that. Just to end this out on a good note, we're going to listen to Brother Luther. This is Never Too Much. And this was Time and a Half with Brother Charles. Thanks for always rocking with me and letting me be me. Once again, this is Never Too Much by Mr. Luther Vandross. Catch y'all next time.
Hung up the phone, can't be too late, the boss is so demanding.